Well, good morning. You know, Memorial Day weekend's always a challenge, thanks to Rolling Thunder. I think most people are free. Anybody get stuck in Rolling Thunder? Some of you, yeah. I think we had some early service, got stuck for a little over an hour, and enjoyed watching the motorcycles go by, but it should be pretty much clear. We might have some folks coming in a little bit late, but that's okay. But we are all worshiping together this morning, and it's great to be worshiping with you. So thank you for being here. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. God, we thank you for an opportunity just to focus on you a little bit this morning in our lives. And we just thank you and praise you for your presence. And God, we thank you for a weekend where we can pause and just remember the people who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country and for our freedoms. And we thank you for that. And we just pray a blessing on their families, particularly those where the loss is still very real and very current. And then, God, I just want to thank you for the men and women who serve our country day in and day out to continue to keep us safe and to secure our freedoms. And I just pray that you would just bless them today and this weekend, wherever they are, whether they're here serving or whether they're deployed in a way. I just pray you'd watch over and protect them and their families. And then, God, I just pray for each one of us this morning as we look into Scripture, as we wrap up this series, and as we talk about some of the relationships in our lives, particularly the ones that are challenging, that you would just give us the wisdom that we need to step into those relationships, to step into those situations, and just to handle them well as followers of yours. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes or open your apps. If you've downloaded the app, the notes are uploaded on that, and you can use that to take notes. And we are wrapping up this series this morning. We've been in for the last 3 weeks, so this is week four, where we've been talking about just difficult people in our lives, the people that we would say, you know, drive us crazy, the crazy makers, if you will. And if you missed part of this series, here are just some of the general topics that we've talked about along the way over the last 3 weeks. On week one, we talked about how the foundation for handling every relationship is wisdom, that regardless of how healthy the relationship is or how difficult the relationship is, every relationship needs tons and tons and tons of wisdom. And then on week two, we looked at how do we handle anger in our lives? How do we handle anger that we have towards other people, particularly when they push our buttons? But how do we handle the anger that kind of comes our way too from some of the crazy makers? How do we diffuse that and handle that in a healthy way? And then last week we talked real practically about just some steps to handling and navigating conflict in our relationships and in the lives with other people. Today, I want us to kind of shift gears a little bit, and we're not going to look at kind of the typical crazy maker there. We're going to go a little bit deeper. I want to talk about how do we deal with the toxic people in our lives, because at some point or another, every one of us, we're going to run into a toxic person. We're going to have to interact with a toxic person. We're probably going to be in some kind of a relationship with a toxic person. It may be a family member. It could be a spouse, a child, a parent. It could be a coworker. It could be that toxic boss. It could be a neighbor, somebody in the community, and even somebody that we're connected to in some way, maybe in the church along the way. And so what do we do when we run into those people? And how do we know when someone's toxic? And so before we jump into the practical kind of application stuff, let's kind of define it. And let me start with a couple of things, things that aren't toxic that I think we need to understand going in. And the first one is this, that you're just going to have people in your life where your personalities just clash with theirs, right? Where you just don't see eye to eye. That's not a toxic person. You may have differences of opinions. You may have different viewpoints, maybe different likes, different dislikes. Maybe your political views are different. You feel strongly, they feel strongly, or whatever. Or your personalities, maybe they're just wired such that you just don't get along. That doesn't make them toxic. And also, I think this one is really, really important. People are allowed to have bad days, right? I mean, that's fair, isn't it? I mean, we all have bad days. We wake up tired. We're grumpy. We say things we shouldn't say. We get into arguments and debates. You know, we do things from time to time because we all have bad days. But that doesn't make you toxic, and it doesn't make them toxic. A toxic person is somebody that does that all the time, pretty much every day, right? So here's the definition that I want us to have today. And there's lots of definitions of a toxic person. This is one I think is a good one for our conversation. And it's this: basically, a toxic person makes me feel worse about myself or the relationship at nearly every interaction. That a toxic person makes me feel worse about me at nearly every interaction that I have with them, or worse about the relationship that I'm in with them at nearly every interaction that we have. So whether you're in a meeting with this person at work, or you just bump into them on the elevator, or it's a conversation on the phone with a family member or somebody that you live with, or maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood or just down the street, and you walk away from that person and you just don't feel good about yourself, you don't feel good about them, you feel like all your energy has just kind of been drained out of you, you feel attacked or criticized or humiliated or disrespected or demeaned or something like that. This person is just an expert at sucking the joy out of your life. A toxic person makes me feel worse about myself or about the relationship at almost every interaction that we have. So that's a pretty good definition of a toxic person. And then here's something else that I think we just need to keep in mind. All toxic relationships are not equal. All toxic relationships are not equal. Some people are more toxic than others, even though they're both toxic. So we need to understand that some poisonous situations last longer than others. Let me explain what I mean by that with some examples of radioactive elements in our world and just how long they last. The element that has the longest half-life, in other words, it stays radioactive the longest, is called uranium-238. And it has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. So basically, it's going to be toxic. It's going to be radioactive forever and ever, amen, right? And then the element that has the shortest half-life that's radioactive is something called radon-222. It only has a half-life of 3.8 days, where it's radioactive for 3.8 days. So when it comes to a toxic relationship, when it comes to toxic relationships, you have to figure out, Is this a 3.8 day toxic relationship, or is this a 4.5 billion year toxic relationship, or somewhere in between that spectrum? Because some toxic things with people, you know, it's just one argument, it's just one situation, and you just work through that and you move on. But then others, it's just going to be a lifelong pattern where you're just going to have to work through it over and over and over again. And honestly, if it's at that level, if it's a 4.5 billion year toxic relationship or anywhere close to that, and it's a significant relationship, you're probably going to need some professional help figuring out how to handle that in a healthy way so that it doesn't derail you constantly. So some toxic relationships are more toxic than others, but regardless, when it's toxic, we need to do something, right? We need to act. And here's why. Toxic people affect you with their toxicity, that they have the ability to make you cynical. They have the ability to make you more negative. If you're at work, when you leave the workplace, sometimes you'll take their toxins with you, and it'll affect your family life when you get home. If it's in the home that you're dealing with this or in your community, you'll take it to work, and it will begin to spread to other people, and it affects the way you treat other people, and it affects the other relationships that you have. So the bottom line is this: relationships with toxic people, they have the potential to make us worse people if we don't deal with them. So here's the question: how do we limit their influence on our lives? How do we limit their influence? I want us to go after that today. And I want us to go after that today by going back to the book of Proverbs. We looked at Proverbs a lot in this series, where King Solomon gave us some really, really great wisdom statements about life. I love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book just to read straight through. I mean, a lot of the books are kind of tough to do that, but Proverbs, you can actually read Proverbs in a month if you read a chapter a day. It's got 31 chapters in it, so it's a great book to read. And here's how I'd sum up Proverbs. Proverbs is basically all about how to deal with fools without becoming one. Okay? I mean, that's basically what Solomon is saying all throughout Proverbs, is this is how you deal with a fool without actually becoming a fool, which I think is what we all want to achieve ultimately. And I'm convinced that if we're going to keep toxic people from impacting our lives, then we need wisdom in our lives like Solomon gives us. So what does this look like? I want to show you two pictures this morning, two pictures of wisdom that Solomon paints. And one is kind of a negative picture. The other is a little bit more of a positive picture. And the first picture of wisdom that Solomon gives us is back in Proverbs chapter 2. And Solomon basically describes the toxic person. Here's what he says: wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose speech is corrupt. These people turn from right ways to walk down dark and evil paths. They rejoice in doing wrong. They enjoy evil because it turns things upside down. What they do is crooked and their ways are wrong. That passage right there pretty much describes a toxic person. Their speech, he says, is corrupt. You can see it in the way they talk to you. You can see it in the way they talk about other people. They avoid what is right. They walk down wrong paths. They rejoice in doing wrong. They love it. Toxic people, he says, they love it when their moods or their comments or their actions, when they just turn things upside down and they create chaos. So basically, the methods of a toxic person, Solomon says, are wrong in every way. And then if you look at the next few verses, Solomon says, here's what a toxic person looks like specifically, and here's how they operate. Here's what they will try to get you to do. And he gives us a metaphor, and he uses the metaphor of an immoral woman. Now, why does Solomon use the metaphor of an immoral woman and not an immoral man? Well, here's why. Because Solomon was writing, basically Proverbs was written to young men. I mean, that was the original audience that Solomon was writing to. So it describes an immoral woman. If he was writing to young women, he would have described the immoral man. But this metaphor for wisdom, it's the image of an immoral woman just standing by the door, okay? So think red light district. The image of an immoral woman standing by the door and how wisdom keeps you from walking through that door. And here's what he says. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the flattery of the adulterous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to hell. The man who visits her is doomed, and he will never reach the paths of life. Solomon is saying wisdom, if you've got it in your life, it's going to keep you from playing that game. It's going to keep you from playing that toxic game. It's going to keep you from entering their house. It's going to keep you from living their way. Wisdom is going to help you experience life the way that God intended for it to be lived. And I just love how practical Scripture can get. He's saying, here's what a toxic person looks like, and here's what they're going to try to get you to do. And if you have wisdom, he says, you can avoid their toxic schemes. And then the second passage, it's a little more of an upfield to it. It connects wisdom and happiness. And we all want happiness, right? And so here's what he says in Proverbs 3. He says, happy is the person who finds wisdom and gains understanding. For the profit of wisdom is better than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than life in her right hand, or holds, is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. She will guide you down the delightful paths, and her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life for all those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Ladies, did you notice anything about the language that Solomon used in describing wisdom? It's she and it's her, isn't it? I think if you're a woman, that ought to make you feel good that the Bible puts wisdom in the female sense. If I was a woman, I would feel happy about that, but I'm not. So when women get too excited, I just remind them of Proverbs 11:22 that says a woman who is beautiful but lacks wisdom is like a gold ring in a pig's snout, okay? All that just to say, ladies, don't get too cocky, right? But that picture that Solomon gave us, that passage, he connects happiness with wisdom. And all of us want that, especially in our relationships. But that, and if you're going to win with toxic people, though, if you're not going to let toxic people invade your life and make you a worse person, then you need wisdom. So let's talk about how do we get it. And let's talk about how do we gain wisdom and some of the things that we need to do in order to have that as we interact with people in our lives. Here's just a few practical action steps this morning. First, wisdom requires me to recognize that there are bigger issues at play. Wisdom requires me to recognize the bigger issues. Now, what do I mean by bigger issues? Well, here's a few bigger issues I think we ought to recognize. One is I've got to realize that I can't control other people. I just can't. I can't control as much as I want to, as much as I try to sometimes. I can't control the other people in my life. I can only control myself. And two, I can't force other people to change, right? I can only change myself. And another one, I think if you get your minds around this third one, this is going to be really, really helpful, but it's this. Imperfect people sin, and they cause damage. This is really important to understand because imperfect people, which, by the way, we all are, right? They cause damage. Sin simply means disobedience to God's ways. I mean, that's what sin is. And when I sin, I'm disobeying God's ways, and I'm disobeying God's standards for how to live my life. So people who disobey God, they're going to hurt other people because sin causes damage. That's just the way it works. When I sin, I damage myself, and I usually damage the people around me as well. Sin has caused incredibly intelligent people to do some amazingly stupid things in their life, hasn't it? And because of this reality, I'm never surprised. I'm just never surprised when people are difficult. I'm never surprised when people are hurtful. I'm never surprised when they're mean-spirited or selfish or political or leveraging for position or any of that. It just doesn't surprise me because no behavior really should surprise us when you understand the depravity of sin. When somebody treats you less than human, don't be surprised by that. Actually, I think you should be saddened by that because sin has impacted that person's life. And here's the deal about toxic people. Toxic people have experienced a lot of hurt in their lives, and that's why they're toxic. I mean, we've talked about this every week in this series, that they've been hurt, they've been wounded, and that is controlling on some level their lives and their actions. So the only thing they know how to spill out is just more hurt, right? Disobedience to God's ways. Not only hurting you, it's also hurting them as well. Now, most of us here would consider ourselves followers of Jesus. And that means that we've come to terms with our own sin. We've let God take that away, right? So do you know what that means? It means the expectation is that you and I are to relate to people differently. That's the expectation of followers of Jesus, that we're to be different and that we're to interact and relate to people differently. I think people should be surprised in the world when followers of Jesus actually aren't loving. But to think about it this way, why would we place that same expectation on someone who's not a follower of Jesus? It's not a fair expectation. They haven't signed up for that. Now I'm not saying that non-Christians can't be loving. I know a lot of people who are outside of faith who are incredibly loving people who have incredibly healthy relationships in their lives. I'm simply saying as followers of Jesus, I shouldn't expect that and I shouldn't be surprised when I encounter that. But when you've experienced God's grace and God's forgiveness and you've been put on a new path and God has filled you with His presence and with His power, there's an expectation that you and I are to be different. And when you get your arms around this idea, it will change a lot of things. And the other thing I would say is I'm also not saying that Christians can't be toxic. I mean, there are a lot of people who are Christians who are extremely, extremely toxic people. I mean, if you want some examples, I'll be happy to show you some of their Twitter feeds or some of their blog posts, right? It's incredible how toxic Christians can be these days. But if you're a follower of Jesus, instead of looking at that toxic person with anger or disgust or whatever, you need to look at that toxic person with compassion. And you need to figure out how do I display compassion to this person? Now, will that compassion change them? I don't know. Maybe not, but here's what it will do. It'll change you. It'll change you, and it will limit the effectiveness and the impact of their toxins in your life. And that's a big one, that I've got to recognize that there are bigger issues at play here. And then here's the second thing, is I've got to avoid the toxic open doors. And I put open doors in quotes there because I'm referencing that passage from Solomon, from Proverbs, where that immoral person is standing in a doorway. Because this is my image. When you have a toxic person in your life, that toxic person stands by the door and they try to get you to walk through it. They stand by that door and they try to get you to walk in to their chaos, right? Part of being a toxic person is just knowing how to get under your skin, right? They know how to get to you. And the way you avoid the door, first of all, is simply by identifying the door. But most of us haven't taken the time to ask the question, why is it that this person gets to me so much? Why is it that they can push my buttons so quickly? Why is it that I end up in this dysfunctional process with them on a regular basis? You know why it is? Because you walk right through that open door when they entice you to come through. Let me give you some examples. They open the door by attacking you. They open the door by attacking you because they know you'll respond back. They know you'll take it personally. They'll know you'll get defensive. They'll know you want to attack back. They open the door by arguing with you because they know you'll want to jump into that argument and debate with them even on the silly minor things that aren't really all that important. They open the door with gossip because they know you'll want to walk right through that because you'll want to listen, won't you? You'll want to know. You want to add your little bit to it, and you want to make sure that you're in the know, so you'll walk through that door. So Solomon tells us, and look how practical this is. He says, do not do as the wicked do or follow the path of evildoers. Avoid their haunts. And then he gets real practical. He says, turn away and go somewhere else. For evil people cannot sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They cannot rest until they've caused someone to stumble. And then he gets really, really specific in Proverbs 1 when he says, my child, if sinners entice you, just turn your back on them. Just don't go through the door, he says. Walk away. Turn your back. Now here's the key. The only way you'll know what door is open is if you ask for wisdom and if you use the wisdom that's available to you. Because when you have wisdom, then all of a sudden it's very obvious what the door is. And then here's the last action I want to give you. And I think this is a big one. I think this is kind of advanced stuff. It's not easy stuff. This is difficult when it comes to toxic people, especially when it comes to toxic people. But here it is. When you're engaging them, you've got to learn to use words that build up. You've got to learn to use the words that builds up. I mean, there is so much. If you read through Proverbs, there's so much in the book of Proverbs about the words we use and the language that we use. And I'm suggesting that you counter a toxic person with kindness expressed verbally, that you use words that build up rather than tear down. Now, some of you might be thinking about that toxic person in your life right now, and you're probably arguing with me a little bit in your head, and you're saying, David, you don't know this person. You've never engaged with this person. There is no way that I can do that. And you'd be right. There's no way that you can. That's why you need God's power in your life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then you've got God's presence in your life. And with God's presence in your life comes his power, and you have access to his wisdom. We can't control others. We can't change others. But we can control our actions, and we can choose the words that we use when we engage with people. So, for example, if someone is engaging you and they're attacking you and they open that door and you want to walk through that door like you've done so many other times and attack them back, Solomon says in Proverbs 15, he says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words, he says, stirs up anger. So you respond in a gentle way. And then Proverbs 26, when arguing with a fool, he says, don't answer their foolish arguments, or you become as foolish as they are. Now, let me say this, and then we'll wrap up. I am not so naive that I think that if you go into every toxic situation and you use words that build up, that's going to solve every issue and everything in that toxic relationship. But I believe with all of my heart that God's presence in your life and his power and his access to his wisdom, I believe that you can choose wisdom and you can choose words that will not only change the situation ultimately, but will actually be life-giving in some way. And it may not happen the first or the fifth or the 50th or the 100th time, but after a while, God will begin to use those words to heal some hurt in that person's life. And I know what I'm suggesting is not easy. But if you're a follower of Jesus, God's ways are not always easy. That was never the promise. Jesus never said, hey, follow me and I'll make life easy for you. Jesus never promised us that. But his ways are right. And his ways lead to life. And his ways lead to healthy relationships. And as followers of Jesus, when we follow his ways, we can ultimately change our homes. We can change our work environments. We can change our communities and our culture, and ultimately we can change our world. So tomorrow, when you start your day, ask for wisdom. Ask for the wisdom that you have access to through the presence of God. Understand there are bigger issues at play here when you have those interactions with people. Don't walk through the toxic doors and use words that build up. And see what God does through your presence with the people that you're in relationship with, even the toxic ones. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we all deal with difficult people in our lives. And we deal with toxic people from time to time. Maybe we're in relationship with them in our family in some way. Or maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's a boss and that's really, really difficult. Or maybe it's just somebody in our community. But every time we interact with them, we just kind of walk away feeling worse about ourselves or worse about them or just worse about the situation and the relationship we're in. So God, I pray that you would give us all wisdom. And I pray that first you would give us wisdom to just recognize that there are bigger things going on, and that that person that's just sending hurt our way, that they've got a lot of hurt themselves. And so because of that, and because of who we are in you, I pray that we would just find some compassion there. And then, God, I pray that we would take the time to identify the hot buttons that tend to create toxic open doors that we just want to walk through, and the next thing we know, we're engaged in a way that we just don't want to be engaged in. And so help us to identify those and avoid them. And then, God, ultimately, I pray that as your followers, we would lead by example in our world, wherever we are, especially with the words we use with people, the way we frame things, the way we talk to people, the things we choose to say and choose not to say to people. And I pray that ultimately they would be a reflection of you in our lives, and they would not only calm the situation, but they would ultimately in some way draw people to you because of us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our song of response.